Random House Audio presents Fresh Off the Boat by Eddie Wong. This is your boy Eddie Wong. What's up, y'all? It's your boy Eddie Wong, and this is Fresh Off the Boat, the memoir. And just a little background, we are recording this audiobook in its entirety in the aftermath of Hurricane Sandy in New York. And basically, Bauhaus has been closed for the entire week. I still have no power in my apartment. I've been hiding out in Harlem on 109th Street and 1st Avenue for 5 days. But figured, had nothing to do, so I've been walking over from 109th and 1st to 44th and 8th Ave every day to come do this audiobook, and it's great. I knew when I was like 17 or 18 that one day I would write this book, because growing up, I always felt like, man, there has to be other people as confused about being American as I am. And whether you were black, yellow, brown, or purple, look like Grimace, I mean, if you have ever been confused about who you are or what you're supposed to be or how others see you, and if you don't match up to the stereotypes or expectations for how you look or where you're from, this is your book. You know, maybe you grew up in New York and you're a Broncos fan, or maybe you grew up in San Francisco and you're a Patriots fan, or maybe you grew up in D.C. and you love the Knicks. So this book is for everybody that has ever had an inconsistency like that. For anyone who ever thought it was weird that we're supposed to walk, talk, vote, or believe anything just because of the way we look or where we're from, and that that would be the final judgment, this book is for you. Chapter 1. Meet the Parents. The soup dumplings are off today, Grandpa said. Should we tell the waiter? We should send these back. No. Don't lose face over soup dumplings. Just eat them. My mom always wanted to send food back. Everything on the side. Something's hot, something's cold. No MSG. Less oil. More chilies. Oh, and some vinegar, please. Black vinegar with green chilies if you have it. If not, red vinegar with ginger. And if you don't have that, then just white vinegar by itself and a can of Coke. Not diet, because diet causes cancer. Microwaves cause cancer too, so she buys a Foreman grill and wears a SARS mask because oil fumes can ruin lungs, says the woman who smokes Capri cigarettes and drives an SUV wearing a visor. That's my mom. I couldn't eat with my mom. She drove me crazy. But she never bothered my grandfather. He's always above the trees. Like Three Stacks said, what's cooler than cool? Ice cold. That was Grandpa, a 6-foot-tall, long-faced, droopy-eyed Chinaman who subsisted on a cocktail of KFC, boiled peanuts, and cigarettes. Thinking back on it, my grandfather created the ultimate recipe for pancreatic cancer. At the time we had that lunch, he'd been battling it for a while, but we tried not to talk about it. That day, we just ate soup dumplings. It's the meat. Did they not put enough ginger? Mayo Shan Wei Dao. Eh, there's ginger. It's just heavy-handed. Who cares? Just eat them. The rest of the food is on the way. Shan Wei is a character a good dish has when it's robust, flavorful, and balanced, but still maintains a certain light quality. The flavor comes, lingers on your tongue, stays long enough to make you crave it, but just when you think you have it figured out, it's gone. Timing is everything. Soup dumplings, sitcoms, one-night stands. Good ones leave you wanting more. The perfect soup dumpling is 18 folds. Taipei's Ding Tai Fung restaurant figured this out in the mid-80s. While Americans had Pyrex visions, Taiwan was focused on soup dumplings. My grandparents on my father's side lived right on Yongkangjie, where Ding Tai Fung was founded. To this day, it's the single most famous restaurant in Taipei, the crown jewel of the pound-for-pound greatest eating island in the world. Ding Tai Fung started off as an oil retailer, but business took a dive in the early 80s, and they did what any Taiwanese Chinese person does when they need to get buckets. You break out the family recipe and go hammer. Ding Tai Fung was like the Janko olive oil of Taipei, undefeated. Dough is where Ding Tai Fung stays the hood champ. It's just strong enough to hold the soup once the gelatin melts, but if you pick it up by the knob and look closely at the skin, it's almost translucent. They create a light, airy texture for the skin that no one else has been able to duplicate. I remember going back to Ding Tai Fung when I was 27 and saying to myself, they're off! It's just not as satisfying as I remember it to be. But 2 hours later, walking around Taipei, all I could think about was their fucking soup dumplings. Across the street from Ding Tai Fung was another restaurant that served soup dumplings. It made a business of catching the spillover when people didn't want to wait an hour for the table. They were really close to the real deal. Like the first year Reebok had AI and you thought maybe, just maybe, the questions with the honeycomb would outsell Jordans. A false alarm. Grandpa Chow, my mother's father, had money on his mind and really didn't have time for things like soup dumplings. He was the type of guy who would go across the street without thinking twice. He'd be fully aware Ding Tai Fung was better, but he was a businessman. He had things to do and never lost sight of them. Everything was calculated with my grandfather. On his desk, there was always this gold-plated abacus. Whenever something needed to be calculated, the other employees would use calculators, but Grandpa beat them to the punch every time. With his fingers on the abacus, he looked as slick as a three-card money hustler. I loved hearing the sound. Tat, 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 rat, tat, tat, tat. After tapping the beads, he'd always reset them all with one downward stroke, whap, and out came the answer. He'd much rather save an hour, eat some perfectly fine soup dumplings, and go on his way. Mom had other plans. She was my grandpa's youngest and loudest child. Mom claimed she was his favorite, and I can't say I don't believe her. Grandpa loved her because she was entertaining and full of energy. As a kid, she took the Taiwanese National Academic Exam and got into all the best schools in Taipei. After she came to America as a 17-year-old, she managed to graduate as a salutatorian of her high school, even though she barely spoke English. On top of that, she's still the best cook in my family. My cousins love talking about things they don't know about, and everyone claims their parents are the best. But even the aunts admit my mom goes hard in the paint. That day, my Uncle Joe from my dad's side was with us at Yiping Xiaoguai. I think he actually discovered the spot because it was in Maryland where he lived. Earlier that day, Grandpa had asked me where I wanted to go for my 6th birthday. He figured I'd say Chuck E. Cheese or McDonald's, but Mama didn't raise no fool. Chuck E. Cheese was for mouth breathers and kids with Velcro shoes. I want to go where they have the best soup dumplings. Where's that? Even Uncle Joe knows. Yiping Xiaoguai. I really liked Uncle Joe. He built 3 of the major bridges in D.C. and wore these big, thick, black-rimmed glasses. I was into glasses, especially goggles, because Kareem wore them and he had the Yale Skyhook. After we ate, I was kind of pissed with the shitty soup dumplings. It was my birthday. Yiping Xiaoguai, you can't come harder than this for the kid? Chuck E. Cheese can serve shitty food because you get to smash moles and play skee-ball after lunch. But all you have are soup dumplings. How could you fuck this up? Yiping Xiaoguai was like Adam Morrison. Your job is to slap Kobe's ass when the Lakers call a timeout. If you can't do that, shoot yourself. As I sat there pissed off, I saw a waiter pouring off-brand soy sauce into the Wanjishan soy sauce bottles. Corner-cutting, bootleg, off-brand, soy-pouring Chinaman. Mom! Mom! Eddie, stop it. I'm talking to Grandpa. Talk to Uncle Joe. If someone was talking to Grandpa, you couldn't interrupt. But apples don't fall far from the tree. My mom was the youngest and never followed rules in the family. She enforced them on everyone else, but she never followed them herself. Mom, listen! Huang Xiaowen! That was a signal. Black people use the government name when shit hits the fan, and my family would bust out the Chinese. It hurt my ears to hear the Chinese name. Not only did it seem louder and extra crunchy, but it usually meant you were about to get smacked the fuck up. Luckily, Uncle Joe was a nice guy who actually thought it was possible that a child might have something important to say. Uncle Joe, I know why the soup dumplings are bad. Really? Tell me. Look over there. The waiter's pouring the cheap soy sauce in the bottles. They must be using it in the dumplings, too. Genius! Genius! Aiya! Reihua, Reihua! 这个小文太聪明了! Reihua was my mother's Chinese name, so Uncle Joe got our attention when he used it. Eddie figured it out. They're using that cheap, heavy soy sauce now. Look over there. He's putting it in all the bottles. Oh my god, too smart, too smart! I told you, this one's so smart! Whatever, Mom, you never listen. Shh, don't ruin it for yourself. You did a good thing. Just eat your food now. I think my mom is manic, but Chinese people don't believe in psychologists. We just drink more tea when things go bad. Sometimes I agree. I think we're all overdiagnosed. Maybe that's just how we are, and people should leave us alone. My mom was entertaining. If you met my family, you'd prescribe Xanax for all of them, but then what? We'd be boring. At any moment, I was around my younger brother, Emery, my aunts, my uncles, my cousins, or my parents. We ate together, went shopping together, and worked together. Sometimes 5 of them, sometimes 12 of them. On weekends, it was anyone's guess. We'd pick an aunt's house, and you'd see a line of Cadillacs, Lincolns, and Toyotas form down the street.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?